Reading from Bhagavad Gita, as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from chapter 2, which is called Contents of the Gita Summarized, text 19. Do you want a book? How you can read the verse without a book? Oh, okay. You found it? 2:19. Ya enam vetiham taram. Ya enam vetiham taram. Ya enam vetiham taram. Yas jainam manyate hatam. Yas jainam manyate hatam. Yas jainam manyate hatam. Ubautarna vijanito. Ubautau na vijanito. Nayam hanti nahanyate. Nayam hanti nahanyate. Ya enam veti hantaram. Yas jainam manyate hatam. Ubautau na vijanito. Nayam hanti nahanyate. Ya enam veti hantaram. Yas jainam manyate hatam. Ubautau na vijanito. Nayam hanti nahanyate. Please chant. Na ena veti hantaram. Yas jana manyate hatam. Ubautau na vijanito. Nayam hanti nahanyate. Ya enam veti hantaram. Yas jainam manyate hatam. Yainam veti hantaram. Yas jainam manyate hatam. Ubautau na vijanito. Nayam hanti nahanyate. Yainam veti hantaram. Manyate hatam. Ubautau na vijanito. Nayam hanti nahanyate. Ladies? Yanam veti hantaram. Yas jainam manyate hatam. Ubautau na vijanito. Nayam hanti nahanyate. Ya. Anyone who. Enam. This. Veti. Knows. Hantaram. The killer. Yeah. Anyone who. Cha. Also. Enam. This. Manyate. Thinks. Hatam. Killed. Ubao. Both. Tao. They. Na. Never. Vijanita. Are in knowledge. Na. Never. I am. This. Hanti. Kills. Na. Nor. Hanyate. Is killed. Translation. Neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who thinks it slain, is in knowledge. For the self slays not, nor is slain. Please repeat. Neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who thinks it slain, is in knowledge. For the self slays not, nor is slain. So slain, that's another word for killed. It's slightly different, but it's like more like killing of innocent people. Killing of innocent people, like if someone's slain, you can think, oh, probably it was an innocent person killed, like in a violent way. And killed is more like neutral. You don't know whether it was the situation. But slain has the a tone of slaughter. Yes, say? Yeah. Yes, this is the tone that it gives. So although the Sanskrit, Prabhupada's just writing kills and is killed, in the translation he's putting the word slain, slayer and slain. Purport. When an embodied living entity is hurt by fatal weapons, it is to be known that the living entity within the body is not killed. The spirit soul is so small that it is impossible to kill him by any material weapon, as will be evident from subsequent verses. Nor is the living entity killable because of his spiritual constitution. What is killed, or is supposed to be killed, is the body only. Only. This, however, does not at all encourage killing of the body. The Vedic injunction is Ma Hingshat Sarvabhutani. Never commit violence to anyone. Nor does it say in your book, in brackets, 9.4? Does it say in brackets, after this quote, 9.4? On the Veda base, it says in brackets 9.4, but it's not true. But it's not in 9.4. I looked it up. Sarvabhutani, but not the Mahingsha bit. Anyway, I looked it up on the internet. It's not there either. I couldn't find any. Yeah. So who? To who? To who? Oh, okay. Can you look it up on Vedabase and see? See, it's not in 9.4 if you look. Anyway. Never commit, so that the translation is never commit violence to anyone. Nor does understanding that the living entity is not killed encourage animal slaughter. Killing the body of anyone without authority is abominable and is punishable by the law of the state as well as by the law of the Lord. Arjuna, however, is being engaged in killing for the principle of religion, not whimsically. End of the purport. Now we'll read the prayers. If you look on page 1 of the book, you'll see the prayers that we're going to read. It's the beginning of the introduction. No, he's not there yet. Introduction. Have you got the introduction? No, more pages. Turn over more pages. Yes, okay. Om Gyana Tibrandasha Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sagana Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Patan Sagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rate Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yena veti hantaram na chana manyate hatam, ubauta na vijanito nayam hanti na hanyate.
Neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who thinks it slain, is in knowledge, for the self slays not, nor is slain. So what Krishna is doing now, they're on the battlefield, the battle's just about to start, and Arjuna's got doubts, should he fight or not? He's just, at the beginning of this chapter, accepted Krishna as his spiritual master. So over the last seven verses, Krishna's been explaining to Arjuna and to us the difference between matter and spirit. So here I am, a combination of matter and spirit. The body is matter and the soul is spirit. That's what Krishna is explaining. And then the rest of the chapter up till text 30 is going to explain all the qualities and of the soul. So we're in a world of matter. All these things, the cushion, the microphone, the glasses, they're all matter, inert matter, dead matter. But we are living. Something is making us live. And that is the soul. So the soul is spirit, and the quality of the soul is Satchitananda. Sat, eternal. Chit means knowledge, and Ananda, felicity, that French. Bliss. The body is the opposite, temporary, full of ignorance and misery. The example sometimes given, if you go to a house where someone has died, say the grandfather has died, then the relatives, the grandmother might say, he has left, he's already left, grandfather has left, he's left me, and she'd be crying. But the body is still lying there. But he has left. Who has left? When I was 19, I was working in a hospital, and there was someone had died. It was and I was in this room with this this man who had just died, and I was thinking, what's the difference between today and yesterday? There must be something different. He looked exactly the same. He wasn't moving, but apart from that, he looked the same, and I couldn't work it out what it was. But I knew that he had gone. And I was looking around the room to see where he was now. I wonder where he is now. I couldn't quite work it out. But Prabhupada, because he's translated this so nicely, now we can all understand. It's the soul that had left. When the soul leaves the body, then it starts to, it's called dead. Actually, the body is always dead. But because the soul is in it, it lives. And when the soul goes out, then again, it's called dead. So I was looking on the internet to find this quote, and I found the same class that my Guru Maharaj was giving this class. And he said to the audience, "So, are you the body or the soul?" Then they all said, "The soul." And he said, "Oh, so the quality of the soul that is immortal, the soul is immortal, it doesn't die. So, are you all immortal?" And so they all said, "Yes, they're immortal." And he said, "So, after only 2 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, you have become immortal." And then he was asking the audience, and because in the beginning of ISKCON they didn't have a Bhagavad Gita, then Prabhupada made this Bhagavad Gita, but there were already quite a lot of translations of Bhagavad Gita. So they actually counted them, all the ones they could find, and they found 250 different translations of Bhagavad Gita. But how many devotees did they make, all these 250 translations together? And look, in a few years, how many devotees that Srila Prabhupada's Gita has made. Millions, literally millions. So my Guru Maharaj was saying, before reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, did you understand that you were the spirit soul? Who already knew? Who understood about the spirit soul before reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is? Anyone? You read some other book? Oh, you read another book. What did you read?
Oh.
Oh. Was it an old book or a new one? Oh, wow. Must have been someone who read Prabhupada's book. This knowledge is very old, but it wasn't brought to the public very widely in a way that we could understand. So a lot of people who do understand that humans have a soul, they don't think that animals have a soul. I asked my father, "So according to your philosophy," he's Catholic, he goes to church every week, "according to your philosophy, do animals have a soul?" And he said, "Well, we don't really talk about it." I said, "Does it say in the Bible that animals have a soul or not?" And he said, "Well, we don't really talk about it." He said, "Well, if they did, you wouldn't be able to eat them." But he eats meat, so obviously he hadn't thought about it like that before. But they actually, animals do have a soul, because how do you know if someone has a soul? The symptom of the soul is consciousness. Like if you would get a dog and someone would kick him, then he would start squeaking, barking or something, because he feels it. He is conscious of his body. And other animals also, they're conscious of their bodies. I even saw a dog smile. I didn't know that they could. There was this, in Mayapur, there was this dog lying in the road with a smile on his face. I was thinking, wow, dogs can smile. He was feeling so happy that he was lying in the sunshine. I didn't know that they could smile. And animals, they feel happiness, they feel sadness. Cows also have their personalities, they're conscious. So consciousness is the symptom of the soul. So it's mentioned in the verse that the living entity, so that's the soul, can't be killed. So when Arjuna is on the battlefield and Krishna is trying to get the message across, that even though he's got to kill Bhishma, his grandfather, and Drona, his teacher, but Krishna is trying to make him see that the soul is not going to be killed. They'll change their body, yes, that's true. But they won't actually, it's not the end, they won't die. They won't be finished. They still have life in a different body, or they'll go to heaven or back to the spiritual world. It's not the end. And the other, so there's two points. One is that the soul doesn't die, and the other is that it doesn't kill. So if the soul's not doing the killing, who is doing the killing? Oh, blame Krishna, great. So the topic of who is doing anything, that's explored in later chapters. That will be described, the five factors for killing, the place, the person who's doing it, the influences, the things that influence him. So the soul has the desire to do something. And then Krishna has to agree to it, for it to be possible. And then material nature can have influence as well. There's a Bengali saying, Rake Krishna Mareke. Mare Krishna Rakeke. It means if Krishna will give protection to someone, who can kill him? And if Krishna wants to kill someone, who can protect him? Everything we do is ordained by Krishna. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of God. So in this case, what Krishna wants Arjuna to do is fight. They're in a battlefield, and he's one of the main characters in the battle, and he's thinking, maybe I shouldn't fight. So Krishna he's persuading him by defeating all his arguments. Every argument that Arjuna gave, he had five reasons for not fighting, so Arjuna's going through them systematically and defeating all these arguments. So it's not that killing is bad. Killing without authority is bad. Killing the body of anyone without authority is abominable and punishable by the law of the state. So supposing you've got a soldier and he's in the war and his superior tells him to kill, then that's okay. But if it's not a war, his superior is not telling him to kill, even if he kills the same person, then it's not okay. He'll get put in jail or court-martialed. And it's according to the law of the state and by the law of the Lord. The last line of the purport is, Arjuna, however, is being engaged in killing for the principle of religion, not whimsically. So how can killing be the principle of religion? So what the Pandavas are fighting for, the kingdom. Either the kingdom is going to be given to Duryodhan or Yudhisthira. Arjuna's brother Yudhisthira, he's the good guy in the drama, and their cousin Duryodhan is the bad guy. So what's he done that's so bad? What has Duryodhan done? He's the eldest son of the present ruler. What's he done that's so bad that he can't be the king? So in, I think it's 139, there are six kinds of aggressors that were mentioned. No, it's not 39. Anyone remember the six kinds of aggressors? Oh, here it is, 36. So, six kinds of aggressors. And if they're killed, you don't get sin by killing them. So, a poison giver. Duryodhan gave Bhishma poisoned food. Then when he fell unconscious, he threw him in the river. Tried to kill him. His own cousin. The second one who sets fire to the house. So they plotted... Hare Krishna. They plotted and planned. They built a special house made of very flammable materials at Varnavat. They invited them to stay there and they planned to set it on fire and kill all five Pandavas and their mother. They plotted to kill them. And when the house was set on fire, then the Pandavas escaped through a tunnel, which they'd... One who attacks with deadly weapons... One who plunders riches. So when they had the dice game, they cheated at dice, and the Pandavas lost all their wealth. In fact, their whole kingdom. All their maidservants, all their servants, all their palace, all their gold, or everything they lost because they were cheated at dice. 5, one who occupies another's land. So then they occupied, the kingdom was originally one, and then because they thought that the Pandavas had been killed, and Yudhisthira was the crown prince, he was going to inherit the kingdom, but because they thought he was killed, they crowned Duryodhan crown prince. Then when Yudhisthira came back, they had two crown princes. What to do? So they divided the kingdom in two. They gave half of it to Duryodhan, Hastinapur, and half of it, Kandaprast, they gave to the Pandavas. And the Pandavas turned this desert-like part of the kingdom into a very nice kingdom, and then it was called Indraprast. It was so nice, even the king of heaven, Indra, would like to live there. And then so they got half a kingdom each, and still Duryodhan is not satisfied, even though he had the most prosperous half of the kingdom. He wanted all of the kingdom, even though it was supposed to be Yudhisthira's. So they planned again, they got them into exile for 13 years, and then when the Pandavas came to ask back for their land, they were not given anything. Even when they reduced their request to 5 villages. Okay then, so just give 5 villages. They didn't even get that. So they're occupying their land. And 6, one who kidnaps a wife. So what they did was they insulted Draupadi in the vicious assembly, and Duryodhan ordered his brother Dushasan to take off her sari in front of all the assembled kings and sages. She's the queen. She was supposed to be the queen, and you can't do that. So this is why it's on the principle of religion, he should not be the king. He should be killed, and everyone who supports him should also be killed for following the wrong path, for choosing the wrong side. Even elevated people like Bhishma, Drona, they're on the wrong side, so they also deserve to be killed. So Krishna's saying to Arjuna, was it last verse or the one before? Yes, last 18, fight. Get up and fight. He says it, I think, 8 times throughout the Bhagavad Gita. He keeps telling him, get up and fight. Does anyone have something to add? This verse is connected with the next verse. Would have been good to do them both together. The next verse is one you have to... It's one that people often learn. Who's doing class tomorrow? Oh no, Maharaj is doing class tomorrow. Now it's Maharaj seminar for 3 days. Oh, then it's me again. Then it'll be Tuesday and it's me again. Okay, I'll tell you the next part on Tuesday. It's very nice verse, the next one. But for so far, yes?
Can you speak about the second part of the Prabhupada?
Never commit violence to anyone, yes. Good point. So Prabhupada said, this is not just that you don't harm them, Prabhupada goes so far as to say, if you don't give them the knowledge that we know from Bhagavad Gita, if you don't tell them about the spiritual knowledge, then you're committing violence. So anyone means we're not allowed to commit violence to people, also not to animals. They're also counted as souls. Do you understand the point I was making about giving the knowledge? It's further on in the Gita, we'll come across it again. It's not enough just to say, I don't kill it, I don't thump anyone, I'm non-violent. If you don't give them spiritual knowledge, what are you doing to them? You're making them take birth again and again and again. You're killing them, letting them get killed, letting them die over and over. Is that what you mean, Padmanendra Prabhu? So, Krishna is saying, if you kill the body, still the soul's not being killed, but it doesn't mean you can kill animals to eat them, for example, just because you think they taste nice. No, I'm not killing the soul, I'm only killing their body. But what you're doing is you're stopping their progress in their evolution. The animals, they evolve, they take different species of life. There are 8,400,000 species of life. So they evolve again, then when they come back to the human form of life, then they can get out of the cycle of birth and death. Your mother phoned. At 6:45, your mother phoned 3 times. But we couldn't find you. Your mother phoned, but we couldn't find you. You're living in the castle or across there? Library room. So when some body gets killed before time, it interrupts the evolution of the soul. So that's also not allowed. Not allowed, it's you get karma for it. The Sanskrit is Mahingshat Sarvabhutani. It's quite a well-known saying, but I didn't find the source. I didn't find the where it's quoted from. Any questions? Yes? Capital punishment? It's mentioned in further on in the Gita. It's capital punishment should be given, but who is qualified to do it these days? That's the problem. If there was a king who was qualified, it would be okay, but who is of the present leaders, who is qualified? That ISKCON, that the judges are Krishna conscious and wear tilak. And then it's reintroduced. If someone kills and he's brought to court, his karmic punishment will be that he'll get killed. So by killing him, that the judge orders his killing, it gets rid of that karmic. But we're unqualified at the moment. People are unqualified to make the. I think if you ask Jayadvaita Swami, he'd say they should be killed. Because he was saying in one class in Mayapur very strongly, criminals should be killed. And he wasn't even talking about murderers, he was talking about some other crime. The last person who got capital punishment in England, in the UK, was innocent. Didn't kill the guy. And when they stopped capital punishment in the UK, the person who actually did it admitted it. Because then he couldn't be killed for it. But this doesn't mean he won't die, because he still got that on his karmic account. But he doesn't know that. Any other questions? So tomorrow's seminar is called Vaishnav Sanyati Sin ISKCON. For 3 days, Yadananda Swami will give seminar on his study for his MA on sannyasis there. Their activities, their lives. I can't remember the exact topic. So for the next 3 days, it's going to be Yadananda Swami giving class. Life and challenges, oh yes, that's it. And recently there were 4 new sannyasis initiated in ISKCON, now there are 84 sannyasis. Okay, so we'll stop now, we can start the bhajans. Thank you for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You forgot the dasi. I'm the servant of Karunamai.